Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely, and amen. This time, his time, Shabbat Shalom, and good evening to you all. Good morning to some, afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless. I want to welcome you to the Natstream Network on this faithful Friday evening, and Shabbat Shalom again, for it is November 9th, 2018, and we're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. I am your host, Leander Grace, and it's good to be back with you on this air this evening, a network of believers in Christ, Yeshua called Jesus, HaMashiach Nagi. And that is the point of truth from which there is no compromise. The top tenet of the network as a whole, and I, Leander Grace, individually, is a matter of my profession of faith. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is a message so powerful in truth, so revealing of a mystery so magnificent. Who can withstand it? Upon hearing, folks will either fight and flee or listen and become converted, and it is a privilege to be able to walk this road. Thank you for being a part of it this evening. It's a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of the one thing. Guys, I want to tell you, I had to take about a week off. I got a little run down, a little tired and peaked, as it were, and a lot of political things going on, and I just needed to shake my head and go, blah, 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 you know, and then get back on air, because it is us, we are diligently contending for the faith. And may Holy Spirit continue to guide our battle, knowing we are given only our daily bread and a daily reprieve based upon our spiritual fitness, going forward with the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, knowing the battle is won, but folks, we've got to show up. And that's what we're talking about this week on the program, showing up at the right time, at the right place, at the right time, because the Great Awakening is continuing. It's an awakening to spiritual truth, awakening to scriptural truth, as well as some of the other truths that are being revealed that we see in the headlines. So make no mistake, folks, and do not be deceived. The harlot is in the house and the thief is at the door. We will, even though this is only a 60-minute broadcast tonight, we will bring this to a close and hopefully be able to show you about the harlot in the house and the thief is at the door. We've been through a whole bunch of stuff as we've been through this series, bringing in a little bit of scripture here and there. We're going to continue with it, guys, because we need to make no mistake. We cannot win the battle alone, and we're not just in a battle, but we are at war. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and the cosmic powers governing this darkness. And there is a darkness across the globe. It seems nearly to be organized and sometimes self-organizing and maybe having a mind of its own. It's just kind of crazy, some of the way the dominoes are falling. No sooner we plug this hole and somebody else puts another hole in something. Some distractible battles, but we know that the battle belongs to the Lord. So remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, folks, podcast and pod people, we love you, too. Question everything, cultivating a Berean mind and a seeker's heart, because we must seek Him. And here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. And that's from Revelation 14:12. For those of you who are Protestant Christians and want to know where it's at, it's in the back of the book. It's in the back of the book. It says, keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. Sure does. Let me get a drink. And this is why we say we can't win the battle alone, because there is false information and foolies and upside downness everywhere. And we need to figure out where the holes are, and hopefully this series in the harlots in the house and the thief is at the door will come to a better understanding of who it is that we are as followers of Yeshua, and who it is that Yeshua is, really is. And we've used a lot of the Old Testament scriptures. Why? Because that's where He is. That's the prophets and the law and the Torah and all those things prophesied about him through every chapter, every book that there is. So remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And it is, of course, the days to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're going to try to do this with a new scripture alert. Ding, ding, ding. I have a little bell, but it lasted, you know, a lot of seconds, and I haven't made it shorter yet, so we'll just pretend that there was a ding, ding, ding going on, and maybe I'll bring a bell from another room or something like that. But a new scripture alert is 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. Now remember, Peter is Cephas. He is Simon, called Cephas, the witness, the stone. And I want to go through, first of all, the King James version of it, then read the New International version of it, which is like a paraphrase. I wouldn't rely on it for any type of thread following or pattern following, because there's a lot of holes in the New International Version. It's okay for story time, but I wouldn't put it for prophecy. But first of all, let's go ahead and take a look at 1 Peter 2:9 King James Version. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's a lot of words. What does the New International Version say? Again, 1 Peter 2:9. For those of you who want to follow me in the scriptures, and for those of you who want to know what software to open up, if you're following me on live broadcast or podcast, I'm using BibleGateway.com. And using the next one is going to be the Complete Jewish Bible or Judaic Bible. And I'm also use the Interlinear Scripture Analyzer, and you get that at scriptureforall.org. So there you have that. So in the New International Version, it says that you are a chosen people instead of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Oh. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And that's a little bit closer, perhaps, and I find that, you know, a little surprising. But let's take a look at the Complete Jewish Bible version, and I like that, the CJB version, as it were. But you are a chosen people, the king's Kohanim. The what? The king's Kohanim, the king's priests. The what? The king's priests. And I'm hitting that pretty hard for a reason when we come back to it. A holy nation, a people for God to possess, for Yahweh to possess. Why? In order for you to declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The one. The Elohim, the one, the seeming plurality. We might be able to hit a whole lot of points tonight. I'm not sure. Remember that next week we are going to talk about the road to Emmaus, and I'm already excited about that. There's a lot to bring forward. We might get some hints on it tonight. This is a point to hit the one who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Now, why did I hit that so hard? Because today the so-called evangelicals are twisting the scriptures around and telling everybody that we are already priests and kings. And that's not what the scripture says. It's a royal priesthood, a king's Kohanim, the king's, capital K, the king's priests. And I think there's a little bit of misunderstanding among the Protestant Christians today, going around telling everybody we're already sons of God. Not yet. We have the power to become, but we're not yet. So I wanted to hit this pretty hard. Yes, we're a chosen people. Who is? Who's Peter talking to? This is Peter, the disciple. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Judeans. He's talking to the Jews. You're a chosen people. The king's priesthood, the king's Kohanim, a holy nation, a people for God to possess. And that's kind of important as we go forward and look at these things. So tonight we're taking a look at the times and the seasons. I just wanted to hit that there because that's a little bit of a contention thing around today. And remember that we're the watchmen of the Torah. If we're a Nazarene, that's who we are, watchmen of the Torah. And we're the ones at the early church, the first name that was first given to those who were listeners or students of Paul. The first followers of Yeshua, of course, were the Talmudim, the disciples, and they were later called the Nazarene, those who were guarding the gospel or the Torah, the complete instructions. Those in Judaism didn't want to hear about it, and the Christian church didn't want to hear about it anymore because there was already a schism. We're going to talk about that also. Let me get a drink. So it doesn't matter to me if you're a listener, no matter what denomination that you are, I will probably eventually going forward insult you, or if you might feel insulted by what I'm sharing with you at least once. And I want you to understand that when someone shines the light, they're not necessarily responsible for what's found in the dark. But once we see what's in there, we have to decide whether we want to be a part of it or whether we want to walk away from it. Because remember, the third angel's message is, come out of her, my people. And I'm going to add, come away from the tents. For those of you who are familiar with the story of Korah, those of you who are Judah, come away from the tents. Be not partakers of those sins. We're going to hit that perhaps a lot tonight. Come out of her, my people, and come away from the tents. Because the harlot is in the house. And the thief is at the door. And the only way we're going to know that is if we know what the measure is of Yahweh. Remember, we've been talking all through this. It doesn't matter what the preacher says or the teacher says or even what I say. Research what you hear tonight. Be the Berean and seek him. And if my words do not ring true, don't listen to them. Or call me up or give me an email or something like that. Get a hold of me. So we started out the first week talking about the Torah, the Tanakh, who Israel was, and who the Nazarene are. And the second week we talked about who is Israel and the one-stick promise in Ezekiel. And then Yeshua, his name is salvation. Week 3 and 4 we took care of the Ten Commandments, 1 to 5, 6 to 10 respectively. And then on the fifth week we talked about the covenant, the marriage covenant. We had to continue that. There was so much to it. We went ahead and continued that into the sixth week as well, took a week off, and look, here we are. Here we are at the times and the seasons, and that's what we'll be yakking about tonight, the times and the seasons, and how it is that Yahweh Elohim has told us to worship him, because he told us, who is us, the lost sheep of the children of Israel, those who follow Yeshua, we've been instructed already, those things did not change, on how to worship him. So the things I want us to take away from this, I mean, I know there's a whole lot of information and everything I think, you know, has value. But in terms of bullet points to hit, the things to remember, because remember, Jesus all the time said, do not be deceived. You don't know the day or the hour. That's a big old one line or a big slogan that all the Protestant Christians throw out there. Nobody knows the day or the hour, right? Of the time that the Son of Man shall return. But Paul goes on to say, and Jesus at some other time too said, you little children are not in darkness, that the day should be catch you unaware. And Jesus said, I don't have to teach you about these times and stuff because you already know that. Now, why would he say that? Because the people that he was telling were already observing the calendar, God's calendar. And the times and the seasons are not just about holidays and feasts and all of those things, but it's God's calendar. And calendar to what? We're going to talk about that. So we have the covenant, the covenant. And there says the new covenant. Well, the covenant is still the same covenant. It's the same marriage covenant. Same rules apply. And the commandments, the rules of engagement, right? Because we are engaged. Evidently, if you're following Yeshua, that means that we are engaged in waiting to what? Return of the Lamb for the supper, of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so the calendar, in effect, becomes the countdown to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Isn't that amazing? So let's take a look at the feast and see what we've got. Now, another thing that I wanted to bring out as well is in Deuteronomy, you know, God told his people over and over, and if you follow Yeshua, you're a people. He says in Deuteronomy 12:20, he said, "Take heed to thyself, right, that thou be not snared by following them." Who's them? In the verse before it, it says, "When Yahweh Elohim shall cut off the nations from before thee, wherever you go to possess them, and thou succeedest, and you get, you know, you succeed them, and you dwellest in their land." He says, "Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee." Right? You went through all this trouble to destroy them, and now you're going to imitate them. And he says, "Don't even inquire after their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods?'" You know, and I think I want to do the same way. He says, "Don't do that." That's in Deuteronomy 12:30. And he continues in 12:31. He says, "Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, and to Yahweh Elohim. Don't worship me that way. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they've burnt in the fire of their gods." So why am I bringing this up? Because we've been given a calendar. And the calendars are the times of appointment. We'll talk about that and we'll break that down. And those calendars are fulfilled in the seasons. There's times and there's seasons. And those are two different concepts we'll take a look at. And they're not necessarily interchangeable, although we do a lot in the English language interchangeable. Times is one thing, seasons is another. But God says right here in Deuteronomy, he says, don't do that. He says, then in 32, he says, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Don't do what, don't add to it, and don't take away from it. None of that, because there's a reason for everything, right? I added that because there's a reason for everything. But what we do find out in reading the Word is there is a reason for everything. Every word, every space, every name that's in the Scriptures, exactly the way it is. Let me get a drink. I have kind of a dry mouth tonight. I have to ask your patience with that. But he says, don't do those things. Don't worship me the way the nations worship their gods. Don't imitate their stuff and acclaim it to me. And then again in Jeremiah says, you know, and it's just talking about the groves, and everybody says, well, what are the groves? Well, there was a habit in Baal worship, just like there is today, when those who have another, the Wiccans and the pagans and all that, when they go out into the groves, it's the same worship. And some of the folks who were of Israel thought that they would do the same thing, and that's why they got divorced in the first place, right? So here it is in Deuteronomy saying, don't do that stuff. But it seems every time that there was a king, we find out that they didn't take care of the groves and he didn't take care of the high places, even though he said a lot of other things correct. And these are the groves and the high places, and that's what we're talking about, the temples that are on the hills, and then the groves. Right, and then Jeremiah has a whole soliloquy. He was going off, you know, you plant a little thingy under every green tree, and that's nodding to the pagan worshippers. You know, you cut down the tree and you do this with it, and you put gold on it and silver on it. That's the same as the pagan worship that they had. It was a phallic object of the pine tree way back at the time of Nimrod when they were celebrating the birth of Tammuz. That's the way that the pagans worshiped their gods. And incidentally, they all did it on December 25th because that is the pagan sun god's birthday. And not at any time during any of the Hebrew writings, any of the scriptures, the canonized or otherwise, do we see anybody being hailed because of the day of their birth. There may a feast have been held at the day of their weaning, but they didn't have a birthday. They would mourn the day of their death, but there's only one that was actually enshrined, and I believe that was either Aaron and Joshua, and I'm not sure which one. Get me to talking some silly stuff. I think it was Joshua. We'll have to take a look in the scriptures and find that out. Research what you hear tonight, so make sure that I've got that right. So we've already been told in the scriptures, you know, and if you're a follower of Yeshua, then you are a lost sheep of the children of Israel, grafted in, and these things are pointed towards you as well. So if that's the case, where did these pagan holidays come from? The pagan holidays meaning Easter. Because although Easter is translated in the King James Version, actually the word that was used is Pesach, or Passover. They celebrated Passover. Easter was the Feast of Ishtar, and that was celebrated in a whole different way. That's where they were sacrificing children. It's a whole story, and it all goes back to the same false god. It all goes back to Nimrod. It goes back to the phallic symbol of Nimrod, and the female symbol of Semiramis, and the birth and the worship of Tammuz, the child, the false gods. And even back in Deuteronomy, God says, don't do that the way the nations do. I have a way for you to know my calendar. I have a way for you to worship me. I have a way for all this stuff to happen, but you need to follow it and not add to it and don't diminish from it. Don't add to it, don't diminish from it. And that's what God said. So what I would like to know is, where do the Protestant Christians get off saying, well, I know that I'm actually worshiping God when I'm having it. No, you're not actually worshiping God. You're doing as the nations do, the sun god. We know about the time of the birth of Jesus had to be around September or October, because we know the date of the birth of his cousin. So there's ways of finding this out. It's not a guess, but we have to look for him. We must seek him. And if you seek him, you'll find him. And you'll find him in the scriptures. You'll find him in the feast days. And that's what we'll be talking about tonight. Okay, so we also need to remind ourselves in Hosea 4:6, you know, the prophet, he was telling, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. You're not going to be no priest to me, seeing you've forgotten my law, the law of the law of your God. I'm going to forget your children. Now, is that necessarily a curse? That's just the way things are. It's a cause and effect. But the key thing is my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he said, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. And people ask, well, then why did you give a way out? Because the wages of sin is death. There has to be a blood. But he wanted mercy rather than sacrifice. He wanted the understanding of the law rather than the sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Now, I know that came from Jesus' mouth also, but that was, he was quoting the prophet Hosea. Hosea 6:6. And we'll get to a lot more of those things as we go forward and talk about the road of Emmaus. But we're not talking about the road of Emmaus tonight. Tonight we are going to hit the times and the seasons and talk about those. Now, the calendar of God, it was given for a reason. It was given back in Genesis. They put the lights in the firmament to serve as times and as seasons. So way back then, he was designing the firmament with the lights in it to move a certain way so that we could tell what time it is. The same with the moon. It has on a certain time frame that things occur. And by watching his calendar, watching his timepiece, we know what day in the hour, what season it is. So let's talk about the appointed times. Remember when we talk about the commandments were the commandments within the covenant. The covenant was with an engagement, right? An engagement of the bride. But on the seventh day, remember on the fourth commandment, the seventh day was declared the Sabbath with his authority. So within the calendar itself, we have 52 Sabbaths, 52 rest days, just being on the seventh day. So 52 seventh days. And there's also three feasts that are appointed. Now, there's others that have been added to it, and they're all fun, but these are the ones that were appointed. To Moses, one was the 7 days of Pesach, or Passover, and I call that a 1 plus 7, because the Passover was day one, and then there were 7 days of unleavened bread. And the first day of unleavened bread was a rest day, or a no servile work day, no business. And the 7th day of unleavened bread, which would make it the 8th day, was actually a rest day as well. So you could actually have three Sabbaths within this one feast if you count the 7th day. I know, head spinning, all of that. But when we take a look at the crucifixion and the 3rd day and the resurrection, we have within the Feast of Passover 3 different feasts taken care of, including the Feast of First Fruits, which was on the 3rd day of the Passover, or the 2nd day of the Unleavened Bread Feast. Oh, we've got to breathe. And this is how unfamiliar we are with this calendar of God. It can actually get the head spinning because we don't live it. And so it seems foreign to us. So in the Passover feast, there's actually 8 days that are involved. One for Passover, and then the following week for unleavened bread. And within that, there are 3 rest days, including the 1st and the 7th of unleavened bread, and a Sabbath somewhere in there. And every once in a while, I imagine that the Sabbath would fall on those other days. And there's adjustments, I think. Now, the other feast, the second feast, is the Feast of Weeks. Now, what is the Feast of Weeks? Well, in Protestant Christianity, I haven't heard much of the Feast of Weeks. I didn't know about the counting of the Omer. I didn't know any of those things. I just knew the day of Pentecost, you know, when the Holy Spirit was given. I did not know the history. So let's talk a little bit about that. The 7 weeks, or the 7 sevens, 49 days actually, is the counting of the Omer, the counting of the time from when when Moses went up to get the law that he came down. It took that long. It was 49 days, or 7 weeks. And so this Feast of Weeks commemorates that. And on the last day of the Feast of Weeks is a holy convocation. It's the day of Pentecost, which is the 50th day and the first day after the giving of the law. So that sounds pretty cool. And then, of course, we have the other feast, which is Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Again, that's 7 days, plus the 8th day afterwards, which is the Shemini Atzeret, the 8th day of assembly of Sukkot. So this is pretty cool as far as the calendar goes. There's a lot of features to it, but these are the feasts and the calendar of Yahweh Ari Elohim. Let me get a drink. The next one is appointed times. Now, appointed times are times, not just the Sabbaths. We understand that those are appointed days. But the appointed times are 3 times throughout the year that is considered pilgrimage time, or appointed times of rest days as well. And one is the Yom Teruah. Now, Yom Teruah is actually what is been translated by some as Feast of Trumpets, but actually it's the Day of Shouting. The Day of Shouting, and it's also been renamed as Rosh Hashanah. And I'm not really sure why. I was reading a little bit about it, but it didn't sink in very deep, so I didn't go into it very deeply, because I don't think that the renaming of it is as necessary as so much as to know what it originally was called and what it means. It's the Day of Shouting, a day of rejoicing, a day to shout. And it begins the 11 days of awe, because afterwards that we have Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And the reason why you say, now, Leanna Grace, why didn't you start with that as day one, is because according to Scripture, the first month, on the 14th day of the month, is the Passover. And that is the first of the calendar. That's what God said when he gave it to Moses and commanded in Exodus. He goes, this is the way it's going to be. Boom. The first month, which now they name Nisan, is 14, the 14th day. This is how you're going to do it. And you're going to do it this way because remember when I brought you out, you had to do it this way. And you got the unleavened bread because you did it in haste and all of the other things that go along with the analogy of the unleavened bread. He said, and then after that, when you start your day of unleavened bread, you know, boom, you're going to eat that for 7 days. All right, so cool, we got that. And then when he passed over Jordan, they incorporated the wave offering, the first fruits of the land the which Yahweh your Elohim will give to you. And so the wave offering became incorporated into that, and that was the wave of the first fruits of the harvest that they were at. And if we'll remember also, it was at the barley harvest that Ruth met Boaz, or actually proposed to Boaz, and asked him to cover her with his skirt, with his hem, with the hem of his garment, with his authority. Do we see the pattern? And then when we get to the New Testament scriptures, when we get to the days of Yeshua, then he becomes the Passover lamb that is slain. And there are days of unleavened bread. And he rose on the third day of the wave offering of first fruits. And he appeared to them again on the eighth day. It wasn't about Sunday, it was about the eighth day. Can we remember that, Christians? Those who say they follow Christ. We're going to talk about more of this and go through the other things on the other side of the break. We're keeping it short and skinny tonight because I want this to be an episode where it to encourage you to look into these seasons and the things yourself. We've become confused. We've had a split from our lineal knowledge, from those things that we used to know, our ancestors knew, before we were taught something else generationally. I am your host, Leanna Grace. This is the Patience of the Saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua. We're going to take a little bit of a break and listen to, one of my favorites. I don't know which one. Everything that's uploaded is actually a favorite. I want to kind of go in with the message, though, and I think, I'm trying to find it, I might have loaded it at the top. Oh, yeah. Where is it? There it is. All right, again, with Phillips, Craig, and Dean, it'll be the Revelation song. Let me clear my throat. I'm starting to get a little tickle, so I think we're going to have to listen to the whole song. It won't hurt my feelings because it's a good song, lots of power in it. Revelation song. We'll be talking about it as well as the rest of the feast days on the other side. Till then. Welcome back. We are right on time. I am your host, Leandra Grace. We are still broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. Welcome back to the second part here of the calendar of God, the times and the seasons, how they all fit together. We've got three C's going on, a covenant, which is the marriage there, the prenups and all that other, the commands, the rules of engagement, of our engagement to this Lamb. And then, of course, the calendar, which is the countdown to the marriage supper. And it's all right there in front of us, folks. It's all right there in front of us. So what has been fulfilled so far? Well, we've got that. We've got the counting of the Omer. The end of that was the Pentecost. Why were the disciples where they were all in one room at Pentecost? Well, it's because they were supposed to be there. That's where they were supposed to be on the 50th day. There was an assembly. And that, of course, changed the meaning from, not from, but expanded the meaning, not just having the law, but to be having the Spirit upon you, to have it written in your heart, in your guts, in your innards, so to speak. And, of course, all the gifts and the goodies that go along with it, but first comes the obedience. First comes being where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, doing the things that we are supposed to be doing. And that has been a theme throughout this. And the harlot's in the house, and the thief is at the door, and they've got us doing something completely different and being rebellious in the face of the truth of it, trying to say, well, my worship's going to have to be good enough for God. No, it's not. Protestant Christians, no, it's not. And we may think that unmasked we can set the standard for God, but that's never been the case. It's never worked for the children of Israel before. Why would we think that it is now? Moving forward, let's go take a look at this other feast, seven days feast day, 7 days of celebration, and that is Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. That's another 7 plus 1. And at the end of that, we have the actual 8th day assembly of Sukkot. So 7 days of living in the Feast of Tabernacles. What does that remind us of? And people say, well, that reminds them of them wandering in the wilderness. Well, there's more to it than that. Why were they even out there in the tabernacles in the first place? Because remember, it didn't take them very long to get from the counting of the Omer to enter, you know, to sending the spies in. The first time, and all the 12 came back, and only two of them had faith. The others were like, "No, they're too big. We're not gonna win, right?" And Caleb's like, "Oh, we're sure gonna overcome. We got this. Send us. We got this." Joshua's like, "Hey, no problem. If God's with us, how can we lose, right?" But God's not gonna prove His ability against grumblers. He will glorify the praise of the faithful. And so he says, no, you guys don't have enough faith. Let's go hang out in the wilderness for a while. you guys who don't have faith, once you're gone, your kids, they're going to see everything that I'm able to do. When they come back in, they're going to be full of faith. And that's kind of how that went. So it's not just that he was protective of them in the wilderness and all of the rest, but it's also that evidently they weren't ready. And so I also see that as perhaps a shadow, right? Because all of the feasts are a shadow of the things to come. It's also perhaps a time of the nations, fulfillment of the nations, those who are the lost sheep of the children of Israel, those who profess themselves to be Christians, because as we've been taught, perhaps we're still in the wilderness. Something to think about. I wouldn't start a new doctrine about her, say Leander Grace is teaching this is a truth. I'm asking this as a question, as a somewhere maybe to look. So those are the three feasts that they have. And of course, within that, there's also three appointed times. There's the Day of Shouting. Now, the Day of Shouting is also called the Feast of Trumpets. And you know, in Revelation says the sound of the last trumpet, the sound of the last shouting. Some great and glorious things are going to happen. And then after the days of awe will be the Day of Atonement. So we have a calendar. And after the atonement, of course, then there's two suppers. Let's not forget that. There's the supper of the lamb, marriage supper of the lamb, and then there's the supper of the birds. And the supper of the birds are the unclean spirits that get to feast on those who weren't wise enough to accept the invitation to the supper of the lamb. Let me go ahead and clear my throat. Got a little bit of a tickle tonight, guys. I've been fighting off a little bit of a congestion, so that's another reason why I wanted to keep the program a little bit short tonight. Give my breather and my throat a chance to heal up just a little bit from some of the trauma. So those are the times and the seasons. Do we keep those today? Lost sheep of the children of Israel? Ephraim, as it were? Do we keep those today? And of course, there's another one I want to throw in there because Jesus himself observed it, and that is the Feast of Hanukkah. Oh, yeah, Jesus himself celebrated that. In the book of John, we see that he went there and it was winter and it was the time of the festival, the winter feast. That was Hanukkah. And Hanukkah we need to honor. You know, I know growing up in a Protestant Christian church and Southern Baptist roots, I didn't know what Hanukkah was. I had no idea what the history of it was. And one of the reasons is because in the King James Version Bible that I have, that the Maccabees, the history of the Maccabees, wasn't listed in there. Let me clear my throat. So I had nothing to tie Hanukkah to anything. And so it took a long time for me to realize what it was about. And then I was thinking, well, why don't we do that? Because that sounds a whole lot better than one night of Christmas, right? Eight nights of Hanukkah. So there were these questions growing up that didn't get answers, and as I became an adult, I looked for them. And that's part of our lineage, if you're a Protestant Christian. And now let me explain a little bit about our history as well as how we got separated from it. It was already in the first century, actually, 70 A.D., just before John was on Patmos, just before the destruction of the temple. You know, that those who were following Yeshua were voted out of the church and out of the synagogue. And so they had nowhere to go. They started, you know, meeting in homes and things of that nature in small groups. And then Paul comes along and he starts establishing churches, actually locations, you know, to worship and to gather and different bodies of believers. So that's how that came about. But the thing is that those of Judaic lineage, those of Judah, had already switched to the Talmud, believing that Torah had been broken, and seeing that the Jewish, quote-unquote, Jewish faith, or the faith of their fathers and their lineage of Scripture were at risk. They didn't want to lose their national identity. You know, so they got their books together in the Talmud and all of that, but the Talmud is not Torah. And just as some of the books and the writings that the Christian church has come across, we've got some failed teachings, some foul teachings among the Christians. They had foul teachings as well. Remember, Jesus said, you shut up the kingdom of heaven, you don't go in, you don't let anybody else on there who wants to go in enter. You know, you don't give them the food, you don't give them the scripture, you don't tell them what that means because they'd already lost sight of it. No different than where the Protestant Christians find themselves today. In complete blindness of who they are and where we fit into the scriptures, where we are grafted in. You know, the prophet tells us, I believe it's Micah 6:8, Micah 2:4, one of those two, or Micah 6:8, it says, you know, O man, what is right. And what does the Lord require of you but to love mercy and do kindness and to walk humbly with your God? So even at the time there, he said, look, I've already given you these instructions. Why are you asking my permission to do things that you already know you're not supposed to be doing? You know what is right, oh man. And it seems as Protestant Christians, we have forgotten what is right. You know, my mentor, Dr. Chuck Missler, best his soul, you know, we'd have, there's a lot that he taught me, but we do have divergent views in this. You know, one of the things that he would say is, you know, it's a good thing to delve into and know this is information, but beware of the Judaizer. And I'm thinking, Judaizer, what is a Judaizer? You know, and then he would, the explanation is that those of the Jewish faith who want to make Christians into Jews by following these laws, that's not Judaizing. That's welcoming. That's welcoming. Now, as a Christian, I couldn't follow Talmud, but I certainly could follow Torah and follow these times and these seasons. Why? Because you little children not in darkness at this day should catch you unawares. I've given you this calendar. I've given you a roadmap of when to get ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've told you in my calendar when I'm coming back. First of all, I gave you all these signs that I'm coming back. I can't say it any louder than that. And I left you my calendar so you can keep track. And it's all about the same topic. It's about the atonement of the lineage. Atonement of the bride. It's the levirate law in action. Making a way where there was no way to salvation for the northern kingdom. That's what these are about. But the harlot's in the house and the thief is at the door. And who is the harlot? The harlot is the false teaching, the false doctrine. That's the harlot, the one who teaches the false doctrine, the one who teaches against these times and seasons. Because remember, it was the same place in Deuteronomy where he's saying, you know, don't do this and don't do that and don't go after him. He also said in Deuteronomy 13:1, he said, if there arise among you a prophet, a dreamer of dreams, or giveth a sign or a wonder, and if the sign comes to pass, and then he starts saying, let's go after other gods, don't do it. It doesn't matter what the prophet says, whether he's proven to be true, whether he's proven to be false. As soon as he says, let's go follow after other gods, don't do it. And if you say you're a follower of Christ, of Yeshua HaMashiach Nagid, if this is what you say and you're celebrating Halloween, you're worshiping another God. Even in fun and games, you're giving honor to that to those false gods, to what has become a demonic holiday. Instead, understand that that holiday was created to cover up the holiday of the Protestant Reformation, which is October 31st, 1517, when those who believed the scriptures more than the Vatican stepped away. That's the short and skinny of it. There's a lot more to it. That was the beginning of it. And here we are again, worshiping on Sunday. Somehow that happened. And here we are again, celebrating this invented holiday called Christmas that used to be against the statutes on this continent until the 19th century. It was illegal to celebrate it because it wasn't It wasn't scriptural. And little bit by little bit, here we are, giving acclamation to an old fat guy in red pajamas that runs around with deer in the middle of the night, ain't got the sense to come in from the cold. That's a false god. Yahweh Elohim says, I am the one who rides through the crowd. Jesus says, this day forward, you will see the Son of Man in the clouds. He was claiming that title. I'm the one. I'm the cloud rider. Not this fat old guy with the beard and in his pajamas. That's a false god. But they brought him back. It's a Norse god. Now on Wednesday we're going to breach the topic on holistic truth. We're going to talk about as it was in the days of Noah. We're going to talk about where these false gods came from. Did they really exist? Yeah, they did. We're going to talk about that part of history that actually did exist, that in Protestant Christianity we're told is a myth. And we're finding out now that's not the case. I have to mute my mic. I got a little, clear in my throat. So that's what we put before you, is to choose. To choose who to serve. Give me a minute. I think I'm going to have to play just a little hint of music and clear my throat once again. I'll be right with you. Just a chip. You be patient. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for the time to come for my throat to clear up. We just have a few minutes left in the broadcast, and I do want to finish up. And I'm pretty sure it'll clear here in just a minute. But where were we? Oh, yes, we were. So, in Deuteronomy, God's telling us, do not worship me the way they worship their gods. And now we fast forward to 2018, and any conversation with anyone who says they follow Jesus and is celebrating these other holidays, when someone tries to point out their origins, the standard line is, yeah, but I'm doing it to worship Jesus, but that's not what God said to do. These instructions didn't pass away. The covenant was renewed with a newer covenant. But the commands stand. And we have to understand the difference of them. We have to. In Hosea, we're told, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It will destroy us. We have to stay up to date. We need to know who we are. And we need to start serving Yahweh the way Yahweh said to serve him. There's not any other place to meet him except where he said to. And constantly, be not deceived. Make sure you're not deceived. Be careful. Don't let anybody fool you over and over again. We're told the same thing over and over and over. And yet here we are in 2018 with every holiday except the ones that are part of our lineage, of our heritage as followers of Christ. Having a very difficult time keeping this cloth under wraps. And it could be that I just have said enough. Let me go ahead and get another drink, see if that works. But I want to bring this home. It's said in some of the churches. It said in some of the churches, they quote Peter where he says, that we have a more sure word of prophecy. You know, it's not just enough that we saw him, but even though we ourselves had first-hand knowledge, he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And I've heard, I've heard some pastors say that comes to mean that the churches should by right have a prophet in them. And as I look at the scripture, I think that's not what it says. The more sure word of prophecy is contained within the Kuvim, within the writings, and within the prophets. I think that is what is meant by the sure word of prophecy. Because as we follow the prophecies, we find each of them fulfilled, at least the ones in the early rain, the one in the first seasons, in the spring seasons, the first of the feasts, up until the time of Pentecost. They seem to have been fulfilled. So if up until the time of Pentecost, which is a comforter, dare I say a bridesmaid to comfort the engaged bride, and now it's a matter of a countdown to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and maintaining our activities within the rules of engagement that were given to us when we said yes to being part of the bride of Christ. Do we see the pattern on how these things fit together? How are you going to act? What are our rules of engagement? We have them in the commandments. And remember when we talked at the end of the commandments, when we got there, we said they're not just rules of behavior or rules of engagement, but they're also prophetic. And then by the time we get to the part where he's going to, and like you said in Jeremiah, he's going to write these in our heart. You know, the rules of engagement. And so now it's a matter of watching the calendar and a countdown to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the next big event. Now, my mentor also talked about some other things on some other programs. I'm going to go ahead and say what I do disagree. I don't see the rapture as being scriptural. Everybody sucks in their breath right there. We'll talk about that. I hope we brought it together for you. I hope this makes sense, the way this comes together. We have the covenant. We have the commandments, the rules of engagement within that covenant. And the calendar, the countdown to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And at every point, there's been fulfillment of all the times and the seasons. And now we're getting to the point where the invitation time is getting short. The harlot is in the house. The thief is at the door. There's false doctrine in the church. And those who would undo us are breaking in. The harlot's in the house and the thief is at the door. Come away from the tents and come out of her, my people. We're told how to worship him. We're told how to do this. We were separated from our lineal knowledge early on in the formation of the church. But now is a time of scriptural awakening and awareness of it. And so now it's up to us to get back on the right track and find our place back into the calendar so that when the countdown gets closer and closer, we'll be ready. We'll be ready and we'll recognize it. Because although we may not know the exact day and the hour of the last day, we're told to be ready for everything else because we little children are not in darkness that this day should catch us unaware. We're given a calendar, rules of engagement, and a covenant of marriage under levirate law. That's the miracle. And that's the mystery. But the false doctrine, the false teachers are the harlots. And the thief are those who would steal what it is that we have. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We've been broadcasting live from the high mountain desert It's been my absolute pleasure to bring you this broadcast. Went a little bit over. Hope it records nonetheless. We will be wishing everybody a good evening and a nice Shabbat Shalom. Next week here on Patience of the Saints, we're going to be talking about, what is it, what time? Oh, the road to Emmaus. Some wonderful, wonderful, magical scriptural truths come through. And I invite you to download the software, Interlinear Scripture Analyzer, and follow me in the Hebrew dialogue within that software. There's English too. I mean, there's English translations too. But the way the language in the Hebrew becomes, the way things become, the messages are relayed, can be absolutely phenomenal. And remember, on the road to Emmaus, that's when Jesus told his disciples everything about himself, starting from the law of Moses, starting from Moses. And we will start with Exodus 3:14 next week. We will be back on MAGA Monday, talking about some of the things that are and are not relevant, some political foibles going on, some really weird stuff happening on the stage. And then Holistic Truth, we'll be talk about the fallen ones. We're going to talk about the watchers. We're going to talk about the earthborn and some of the false teachings. Well, some of the history that may not be scriptural. Until then, guys, it's been my absolute pleasure, and I'm wishing you all a very wonderful weekend, a restful Sabbath, and reminding you to be of that Berean mind and a seeker's heart, because we must seek him. Until next week, remember to watch for signposts, connect the dots, find the path, and live in love, and learn how to forgive. Until next week, good night.